to The Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to provide insight on pharma, health and wellness, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. For the fifth series, The Medicine Box has tied up with OPPI, Organization of Pharmaceutical Producers of India. This series will host a range of guests from OPPI, the pharma advocacy group that represents global pharmaceutical companies based in India. It will share their perspective on a multitude of topics, from healthcare policies to the opportunities of the industry and certain areas of development and progress. Our guest on today's podcast is N. Rajaram, Managing Director of Sanofi India. Mr. Rajaram is also country chair for India. Prior to pharma, Rajaram has worked in the FMCG and telecom sector with Unilever and Bharti Airtel. Mr. Rajaram joins in today to discuss PPPs, public-private partnerships, the way forward to deliver better health outcomes. Mr. Rajaram, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start with the concept of public-private partnership in healthcare. Just explain to us what exactly it is.
So fundamentally, a public-private partnership is meant to close a gap which exists between a capability which a public institution can give and what the private institutions can provide. So if you really look at in India, most of the healthcare spending is actually done by the private institutions. So about 25% of spending is from public, and about 75% spending is actually through the private sector. And this is when the spending itself is pretty small as a percentage of the GDP. So what does that create? First, it creates gaps in access. We today have almost 75% of physicians, trained physicians, who are only available in urban cities. A large percentage of the population has no access to healthcare. A large amount of the treatment is through outpatient in private. The quality of services is not standardized. The capability does not exist right now. And therefore, you have four types of gaps, right? You have a gap which is an investment gap. You have a gap in access. You have a gap in capability. And then you have a gap in efficiency of operations. So there is an opportunity to bridge this gap by bringing the strengths and the infrastructure which is available from the government as well as from the private sector. And that is what a PPP tries to accomplish. Typically, a PPP needs to be long-term. It needs to have a strategic intent, which means that we should have a shared set of goals. Both the parties need to have a skin in the game. And they should be clear together as to what is the problem they're trying to solve. And the third thing is that there must be something where there is a benefit for both. Strategic sourcing or strategic purchase tends to be one of the key aspects of a PPP.
Okay. When you talk about successful public-private partnerships, can you give us a sense in terms of how successful this model has been worldwide?
So worldwide, I think first, in many countries, there is a public health system which is fairly strong. And over there, there is a lot of strategic purchase which is done, and the commitments are far more longer between the payers, between the buying institutions, between the government and the private suppliers. So countries like the UK, countries like Canada, to some extent, those in Southeast Asia have had very successful public-private partnerships.
Okay, what about India? Where do we stand?
In India, in the area of healthcare, I think we have started making some progress, but there are some parts of healthcare where it's been far more advanced. For example, if you look at diagnostics, whether it is radio imaging, CT services, MRI services, we have many such examples which are there. If you look at in states like Jharkhand, Northeast, we have partnerships between companies like GE, Philips, services provided by Manipal Group, SRL. Now, these are models where the private enterprise provides the equipment, provides initial training. The governments provide the physical infrastructure as well as the team which is there to learn. The model can either be a financing model, it can be a pay-per-use model, and these are today there. In fact, a large expansion of the diagnostic services in India has been because of these public-private partnerships.
So would you qualify PPP as a success in India?
I think it's PPP in healthcare, in the area of imaging and diagnostics would be something that we can begin to see a lot of successful models. However, I think in the area of medicines, in the area of treatment, we still have some distance to go in that area.
Okay. Can you give us a sense in terms of a successful example of a public-private partnership? And before I come to that, I just wanted to actually touch upon the fact that Ayushman Bharat, that could qualify to some extent as a public-private partnership, right? But there are some, you know, constraints in terms of the private hospitals, in fact, participating as much in Ayushman Bharat, probably because they don't recover costs as easily. Is that an issue that you see in PPPs?
So it is, I think it is very important for any PPP to tick away three or four key elements.
So what are those key elements?
One would be that there must be a shared outcome. What are both of you trying to achieve in terms of the goal? The second has to be transparency. It is important for both the parties to know, you know, what is the benefit, what are the terms, what are the commercial conditions. The third, it has to be viable for both. And I think in the case of Ayushman Bharat, that is one thing which we need to establish, which is viability on both sides. And I think the last part of it is that it must be fair and equitable, both in terms of the benefit as well as in terms of the governance of it. So I think if it becomes viable for both, then you will see more of PPPs happening to support Ayushman Bharat. Now, let us, for example, take the cost of therapy, which is covered under Ayushman Bharat. I think there are opportunities today to reduce the cost of treatment, you know, which is charged, provided we involve the other parties in this entire process, and not just the service provider, which is a hospital, because there are the people who provide the medicines, there are people who provide consumables. And if collectively everyone is in a partnership, there's an opportunity actually to reduce the cost of treatment and make it viable even for hospitals.
Well, one concern which has come up with a lot of pharmaceutical companies has been the quality of drugs in India. Do you think that there needs to be maybe some kind of public-private partnership which comes in order to ensure there is quality which is consistent across drugs, whichever brand it might be, which is available in India? I mean, now you also have the generic stores which are provided by the government as well. But, you know, there is some skepticism when it comes to the quality. Anything we can do there, anything that has already been done?
So I think the quality standards are very well defined for all the products in India. And the laws are strict. The standards are defined. It's up to the companies really to ensure that they comply with it and for the regulator to make sure that they are monitoring it properly.
But it's the government's initiative to also provide low-cost drugs. I'm not talking about price control. I'm talking about affordable drugs. In that sense, do you think that in order to ensure quality across standards, there could be something done from the private sector as well?
Yes, I think there are two parts to it. One is that there is an opportunity to make a few of the innovator drugs or the branded products which are there available specifically for the Ayushman Bharat program. And a couple of our member companies have in fact initiated such discussions where, you know, we can look at making medicines specifically available for this program. Which are, you know, of the kind of standards of quality which we are very proud of. So that is one thing which is there, provided, of course, that dialogue is taken to its completion with the government.
Okay. What about drugs then, which probably are for much more, maybe the newer drugs, which, you know, Sanofi on a global level has brought to India, or more cutting-edge technology drugs? How does that, how is that provided at probably a lower cost to say government initiatives?
So I think all our member companies, including Sanofi, there are drugs which are innovator drugs, patented drugs, which are available at you know, pricing which is appropriate. So we do have a specific pricing which is available for different institutions as well. And today we have partnerships which are there already in operation. Mm-hmm. For example, we do have different pricing which is available for some of the government institutions. We have different access pricing models available in the areas of oncology, in the areas of rare diseases, which are there depending on the institution, the affordability criteria which is set. So that's something which is can be done. What is important is that there needs to be a budgetary commitment from the government. It needs to be a bit long term, so that then the companies are able to plan it in a proper way.
Okay. You all have an initiative called Saath Saath. Can you tell us more about that?
So Saath Saath is a larger umbrella which we have for a patient support program which we provide for patients who are there on insulin. Insulin is one of those treatments where you know, patients not only need to be prescribed but also need to be supported in terms of usage of the product, in terms of other guidance which comes, whether diet, lifestyle, etc. Now, under that umbrella program, we also provide capability building support to institutions of the government. Mm-hmm. We have in the past supported the government of Maharashtra in building capability for its 35 primary healthcare district hospital areas. We today have a program which is there with the government of Goa, mm-hmm. where we are supporting the education of several schools. We are covering all 2,000 schools in Goa. Mm-hmm. Many of our member companies have also similar kinds of initiatives, which are around awareness, which are around screening, which is similar to this kind of an initiative which we have.
So Saath Saath in particular, correct me if I'm wrong, but it does provide, when it comes to your drug Lantus, it provides a counselor which goes to the patient's house to ensure that they are taking the drugs at the right time.
Yeah.
Just give us a sense in terms of how many such programs exist and what is the efficacy of such a program? How important is it to have such a program? I mean, wouldn't somebody in any case, take the injection at the right time out of just self-awareness?
So I think the first is that this is not a program which is initiated by the companies. Yeah, it is a doctor-supported and a doctor-recommended program.
Okay.
When a patient goes to a physician and the physician prescribes, whether it's an insulin or any other drug, they indicate to the patient that a support service is available to help the patient manage the disease. Mm-hmm. The entire program is always under the supervision of a physician, either in terms of protocol or in terms of their guidance. So it is not a program where you are actually educating the patient anywhere more than what the physician is educating.
Okay.
But the patient needs advice. It's in terms of timing. It is in terms of frequency of reminders, because there are a lot of there's a lot of gap between everyday interaction and coming back for treatment.
Okay.
So.
All right. And it prevents revenue leakage as well for the company.
But actually, that's really not the way to look at it, because the way we look at it is that the best outcome for our medicines is when patients not only use the medicine, but also use it in the right way.
Right.
So if a patient has to get the best benefit of the medicine, it is not in the clinical trial environment, it is in the real life environment. They need to use it both in terms of how much they use, how often they use, and in the right way. So it is actually for the benefit of the patient to get the best outcome, and for us to make sure that the drug delivers the best outcome that it was intended to do.
Okay. If you had to list down the challenges that PPPs face in India, what would it be? What would be the top three challenges?
I would say the first big challenge that is there between the thing is that there has to be a certain long-term context in which a PPP is done.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think if it's transactional, then there is not enough skin in the game for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. And By keeping it long term, there are obviously certain other implications.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a budgetary allocation from both sides,
okay,
which is there for a longer period of time. Yeah. The third is that in all of this, there must be a governance mechanism,
mm-hmm,
which continuously ensures conversation,
mm-hmm,
between each other,
mm-hmm,
and making sure that we are actually meeting our respective milestones, which is really what I would say is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides of the party.
Okay, all right. So that would be accountability, which would be one of the key challenges. If you could just list out then what the future of PPPs would look like from an OPPI standpoint, as well as from Sanofi standpoint, what's in the pipeline?
So there are three or four key areas where I think all of us have a role and a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think given the healthcare outlook in the country, and given the disease burden, many of our companies are actively involved in a few key areas.
Mm-hmm.
One is in the area of awareness and screening,
mm-hmm,
yeah, because we have a huge diagnosis gap in many of the therapies. A lot of improvement in healthcare can happen if diagnosis is done at the right time,
mm-hmm,
if we are able to screen the population which is there, and for that we don't have a public infrastructure to support.
Mm.
Or the capability. And I think the OPPI companies, including Sanofi, are actively involved in making sure there is right amount of screening and awareness.
Mm.
The second is in building new capabilities in the public health care system, because we have a lot of knowledge, we have a lot of experience internationally,
yeah,
that helps us actually upgrade the skills which are there, today prevalent in the public institutions.
Mm-hmm.
The third area for us is to bring to the country some innovative models which are available, whether it's in the area of financing,
mm-hmm,
whether it's in the area of public-private partnership itself,
mm-hmm,
whether it is in a pay-per-use model, a lease model, a shared investment model. Some of these are already prevalent, and we are doing some of these worldwide. So I think we have a big role,
mm-hmm,
in that.
Okay.
And finally, I think that as the government's current healthcare agenda unfolds, which is around Ayushman Bharat,
mm-hmm,
there are a couple of areas where we have a role and a responsibility. One, I think, in the entire development of the primary healthcare clinics which are coming,
mm-hmm,
up, I think the OPPI companies would be very keen on partnering to either upgrade the quality, the skills, etc., because these are distributed infrastructure which is available right now,
mm,
and we would be very keen on making sure that we are there for the PHC's piece of it. Then, of course, I think in the way in which medicines can be strategically sourced,
mm,
for the government, in which they can be, especially innovator or the more special therapies which are for smaller target populations, I think that's an area where we would be very, very keen to participate with the government.
Okay. Well, just before we wrap this up, I actually wanted to ask you about public infrastructure. You mentioned primary healthcare and, PPI probably stepping, mm, in to help there. We need to do a lot when it comes to even increasing the medical personnel that we have in,
yeah,
India, as well as the infrastructure. Do you think that PPP in some way could help in these two categories more specifically?
I think certainly there's a huge opportunity for skill upgradation. Which PPPs can help a lot in that. It's,
mm,
not only necessary that, we do have an issue in having enough number of qualified physicians,
mm-hmm,
for the number of, people that we have in the country, but there are paramedical staff who can be trained more to step in to detect diseases early, for,
mm,
early screening, for managing more the general condition of diseases, be capable to refer,
mm-hmm,
to other centers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over there, the skill building can be done by a lot of companies, including the OPPI companies. And that's where I think one key piece is available. The second is, I think there are a lot of new treatment protocols which are more efficient, which can be brought for training and capability building in the government, existing government infrastructure, which we would be able to bring in and share our knowledge on that.
Okay. All right, Mr. Rajaram, we're going to wrap up on that note, but it's been a pleasure listening to your views with regards to public-private partnership and the kind of importance that it requires probably in a country such as India, where private healthcare is so important, and public healthcare still has a long way to go. Thank you very much for joining in, and I'm sure we're going to get you back to discuss part two of this.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being here.